Before the message this morning, we're going to be reading from Amos. And as soon as you hear the message title of justice, many of you probably thought of Amos. One of the shepherds of Tekoa, the vision he saw concerning Israel 2 years before the earthquake, when Uzziah was king of Judah, and Jeroboam, son of Josiah, was king of Israel. He said, "The Lord roars from Zion and thunders from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds dry up, and the top of Carmel withers. Seek good, not evil, that you might live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you, just as he said he is. Hate evil, love good, maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph. God says, I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river. Righteousness like a never failing stream." Blessings to Steve as you minister to us.
So this morning we're especially want you to be aware of who a prophet is and how a prophet speaks. I asked that question. We had a similar topic in Sunday school, the youth Sunday school today, and asked the question, what is a prophet, or how does a prophet express oneself? So a prophet, as we think about in Scripture, like Amos, prophet is, and there's still prophets today. I don't want to just think of biblical prophets, but a prophet's very attuned to God, has a really strong heart for God's righteousness, and is zealous for holiness, and often is trying to stir up the status quo to get things back towards the way of God and the righteousness of God, speaking truth on behalf of God. So prophets like Amos, I think, is known as the most boisterous, harsh kind of prophet who spoke to the people. Today, when we think of people with a prophetic gift, it doesn't mean I'm loud and abrasive, so I must be a prophet and I'm going to be loud and abrasive for Jesus, you know, but there might be that strong passion. But there's also wisdom and maturity that comes with how you share the words, the challenge that you have to give. But here in Amos, it's one, a little bit in one and mostly chapter five, just a snippet of Amos's words, but it starts out, "The Lord roars from Zion," like this lion roaring. And that one verse has a lot of symbolism, but it kind of says a lot. The pastures of the shepherds wither. The top of Carmel dries up. And so a translation of that, all that symbolism, the Lord roars from Zion, from Jerusalem. At this time, Israel's the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Amos is from down in the southern kingdom. This message, this roar, is coming from down there to the leaders of the northern kingdom. Shepherds is often a word for leaders or kings. And so the pastures of the shepherds or the leaders wither. The top of Carmel, that's again in the northern kingdom, dries up. So this withering word is coming from God to the leaders in the northern kingdom. And so we want to listen for what that message is. But it's a message that's has anger and judgment in it, and a call to repentance and a call to seek that which is good. So it's interesting. Last week, the message, Jesus says, I'm humble, I'm gentle, I'll bear your burdens, you'll find rest for your soul. And here's this much angry and more judgmental kind of message. We might make the mistake of saying God the Father, picturing the Father as this, the judge who speaks forth judgment. And Jesus is almost like the good cop who speaks gentle words and comforts us. It's all God. We can't separate. We could really get deeply theological here, but at the cross, sometimes we think the Father's wrath is poured out and Jesus is this gentle lamb that was slain. It's all God. God's wrath against sin, God's love for the people of this world. It's the Father, the Son share that there. Let's not try to separate the Father and the Son's characteristics. And just to ask the question that, you know, Jesus is the gentle shepherd, but there were times when Jesus was angry. And it tended to be similar to Amos, where there was hypocrisy, where those in leadership appeared to be very pious and righteous, but were very unjust and uncaring for the people under them. So we're going to try to show a video from YouTube. If this works, this is a scene from The Chosen. It's Jesus acting as a prophet, similar to Amos. Let's watch this.
Nazarene, I just spoke to a man who claims you healed his blindness. Nazarene, I just spoke to a man who claims you healed his blindness. Today, on Shabbat,
is there a question coming?
I was told you put mud on his eyes. Where did you get mud knowing you're not supposed to make healing concoctions on Shabbat?
It was easy. I just spit on the dirt.
What? You touched his face with filth?
Cleanliness. That's what you're focused on?
You claim to be a rabbi, to be the son of God, and you don't honor purity laws even on the most sacred day of the week.
You Pharisees. You cleanse the outside of a cup and the dish, and then you eat and drink food that goes into a body that inside is full of greed and wickedness. You fools! Did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give as alms those things that are within. Behold, everything's clean for you.
Are you saying giving alms is more important than being ritually clean?
I'm saying that your obsession with what is clean and unclean goes farther than God intended. And does no good for anybody but yourself.
We tithe everything so the poor can benefit. Down to the smallest plants grown in our garden.
And to that I say, woe to you Pharisees. You tithe mint and dill and cumin, measuring carefully the last speck while neglecting what is actually important of the law. Justice and mercy and faithfulness. You blind guides, straining out a gnat while swallowing a camel. Look at these people. What have you done to help them?
We have taught them how to observe God's perfect law, while you actively defy and break and encourage others to deviate from it. All of you, this man is dangerous. He's leading you astray.
His words bring hope and healing.
His words are blasphemous, heretical.
And I say woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace.
Take it back. Right now, recant your insulting words.
Oh, I am just getting started.
If I died tomorrow.
Okay. So, it's similar to what we just saw with Jesus. Amos was speaking out, if you'd read the whole book, there's this indifference by the leaders of the plight of the poor and the vulnerable. While appearing very devout with their religious festivals and observances. This is something from Amos 4. This is how Amos addresses his audience. And I'm reading from the Message. He says, listen to this, you cows of Bashan. He calls these leaders cows, grazing on the slopes of Samaria. Apparently that area was known to have really rich soil, wonderful grazing land. The cows were plump and fat and satisfied. And so he's making a reference towards them. You women, mean to the poor, cruel to the down and out, indolent and pampered. You demand of your husbands, bring us a tall, cool drink. This is serious. I, God, have sworn by my holiness. Be well warned. Judgment day is coming. They're going to rope you up and haul you off. Remember, he's referring to them as cows at this point. Keeping the stragglers in line with cattle prods. They'll drag you through ruined walls, forcing you out in single file and kicking you to kingdom come. Come along to Bethel and sin, and then to Gilgal and sin some more. Bring your sacrifices for morning worship. Every third day, bring your tithe. Burn pure sacrifices, thank offerings. Speak up, announce free will offerings. That's the sort of religious show you Israelites just love. So again, really hard-hitting. You just love and feel so wonderful and pious about your religious observations. But yet, people are suffering under your leadership. So just, this is what I hear in Amos's words. And what I'd like to do is we might hear all these words about injustice and think about others who are unjust. But I'd like these words somehow to speak to us. We might not be as pompous as the leaders in this northern kingdom who didn't care about their people, but how might we have some of these characteristics within ourselves? And this is what I see, this disconnect between their piety, their religious ceremonies, and their social awareness, their awareness of people around them. They enjoy their wealth and their advantage, but yet they have indifference to those struggling, those working under them. And then they have this worship that they feel like they're just in wonderful standing with God. So there's this lack of awareness of what God's calling them to as far as mercy and justice and love for others, but also a lack of awareness of the struggles of people all around them. And so in this, there's a call to repentance. Seek good and not evil. And then Amos goes to the heart, not just I'm giving you a directive, seek good and not evil. But then he gets to the heart and he says, hate evil and love good. So you hear a lot more than just here's a word to obey, but this is something that the Spirit of God can nurture deep within your heart, to hate what's evil, to hate injustice, and to love what's good. So there's this passion behind it. There's a heart change. But then there's also an expression of that. The way Amos puts it in Amos 5, let there be justice at the gates. And it's at the city gates where justice would happen, where they'd figure out and mediate and hopefully make decisions that are just for the community. So the heart change, hate evil, love good, but then also express that in some way. May there be justice at the city gates. There was one commentator who said in some higher Christian religious education, when it comes to studying the Bible, for some, when it comes to Old Testament, they make sure that there's a class on the prophets. We want to make sure our students hear about justice. But this commentator said we need to understand the whole Old Testament. We need to hear how God called for justice, to care for the alien and the widow and the poor, to have times of jubilee when things are set right again. Like, you need the whole context of God's heart and God's law, and his call for righteousness and justice, to understand what the prophets are trying to call the people back to. So I hope that makes sense. We don't want to just feel guilty or have a teaching that justice is good, but to understand the heart of God, the teachings of God that out of which there is an outflow of justice and mercy. To the point where justice rolls down like the waters, righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And the two visuals here, justice rolling down, it's just like an overwhelming flood of justice. But then an ever-flowing stream is that it's ongoing, that there's just this pattern of justice and righteousness that is flowing from God's people. The one thing I read about trying to distinguish when it's a call for justice and for righteousness, there's Old Testament Hebrew concepts, justice being that there's fair treatment for everybody. And things are ordered like God would order them in a just and merciful way. And then righteousness having a concept of not just preventing or fixing what is wrong, but nurturing healthy relationships throughout the whole culture or the system, whatever the group of people. An example was given of Martin Luther King, again, who called for justice rolling forth and so forth. But, so Martin Luther King was all about asking for fair treatment for people. Wasn't he in Memphis asking that the sanitary workers would have fair treatment the day when he died? But not only that, but his preaching gave this vision of positive relationships in the community between blacks and whites and all people. So having that just poured forth and an ever renewing stream of justice and righteousness. So when we think about then how does this speak to me? Just thinking about how might the Spirit of God use this text, this call of Amos, of Jesus, about my lack of awareness of what's around me, lack of awareness of what God's call is for me, lack of awareness of people struggling around me, making me aware maybe where is there an imbalance of my piety, my religious life, my spiritual life, and again, my awareness and my concern for those who are struggling around me in situations of injustice or struggle, vulnerability. Maybe even how does my own self-interest negatively affect others around me, or the self-concern of my people. How does that negatively affect other people? Hearing that for ourselves, kind of coming out of the Spirit speaking to our heart, not just reacting like a powerful prophet spoke to me and for the next day or two I'm going to feel guilty, but what's deeper in me that's creating this flow of justice and righteousness? So I gave out a paper. And I just want to refer to that for a minute, and I need one myself. I've been trying to have something that you can leave here and continue to think about yourself or with others. So I have some thoughts there, but I was at a ministerium meeting this week, Conestoga Valley Ministerium. And, you know, this, I was already working on this sermon. This was kind of in, on my mind. And I was amazed with the different people that shared in that meeting, how many ways our community is trying to reach out and connect with those who are struggling, suffering in our world, in our community here. So I just thought I'd name some of them. Also, something might connect with you as far as the Spirit of God's really connected my heart to this particular ministry. Conestoga Valley Seeds. It's local ministry. They especially work at healthcare, housing, and education. But they have this ongoing ESL class that is really helping, immigrants, people new to the community, not only with actually learning skills that'll help them find a job, but, the childcare, the fellowship around the tables, helps them to feel integrated into the community. Hub 450 also has ESL classes. Rose, are you still doing some teaching there? Refreshing Recreation, Zion Lutheran down here in Leola, the first Saturday of the month, they have a ministry specifically to the families in the motels along Route 30, the homeless families there, who are stuck in that little hotel room. They come to church for a couple hours. They can spread out. They can sit in the lounge or around tables. I think have breakfast, but just have conversations with people. The kids can run around the gym, where they don't have much room to work or to play in the motel. And it's often in motels where there's prostitution or drug trafficking there. So just not a great space to be out playing. So, we'd be welcome to come and hang out with them. They need drivers getting these families to Zion Lutheran, but I just think that's a great idea. CVCCS, we're really in tune with them. Apparently winter jackets are especially a need right now. Food and clothing we're aware of. Conestoga Valley social workers, they come to our ministerium. Our ministerium funds, like our support of the ministerium, helps the social workers help the homeless families and children who are over 100, between 100 and 150 right now in the CV schools. But they provide $50 gift cards to Target and Walmart. I think they're doing that especially for Christmas, but they do that all through the year when there's needs. Brownstown churches are having a Thanksgiving meal again. They need help, people cooking turkeys through the week, packing the meals in the morning, driving them to houses, and also people to help serve the meal at the firehouse there in Brownstown. We're helping with the East Chestnut Street community meal. There's a meal provided every three times a day somewhere in Lancaster for people in need. We have adopted five East Lampeter police officers, showing them support through cards and gifts of encouragement and prayer. And that's not only support for them, but in a sense, that's a justice thing where we pray for and encourage them and strengthen them so that on the job in those split-second decisions, they act justly and out of concern for the people. So we want to come alongside and encourage them in that. Parish Resource Center does a lot with advocacy for immigrants, free legal consultations, and they're training volunteers to help with that as well. Same with Church World Service. They have a food pantry that's different because they have a list of things, and I printed out a few of these. It's foods that immigrants would appreciate when they go to this food bank at Church World Service downtown. So it's maybe not the things we tend to think of, but it's more ethnic foods that some from other cultures would appreciate. And Church World Service really trying to work at immigration issues. So I just copied a little bit from their website about how there's next year just a great reduction in the number of immigrants allowed into the country. I put that last thing that they asked, maybe contact your elected officials about the immigration issue, but it's another way that we can act for justice. We have this ability in our nation to speak into the process. So in whatever way we want to speak towards that which is just and right, we have that invitation. So this is the stuff that I didn't hear about all this stuff Tuesday, but just there's a lot going on in our community to try to reach out to those who where there's awareness of the needs around us. We're not just churches gathering for worship, but there's a lot going on to reach out around us. So I thought that would be helpful to share with you. So I want to close with this scripture. It's Paul speaking to the Corinthians. And in this particular case, he's collecting an offering for the Jerusalem church that, faced a lot of famine. And, so from the outlying churches, he's collecting this offering. But it speaks a lot, from 2 Corinthians 9, just when it talks about sowing generously In this case, he's talking about an offering. But our sowing generously is any way that we're aware of people around us and any way that we come alongside them in love. So hear these words. Remember this, Paul says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God's able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it's written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Amen.